How are we doing, everybody? This is the first time of me doing not only just a YouTube video with the guest, but first guest of MLB on Ice. So what we have here is we got Mike DeFran. This guy's basically my Twitter brother, quarterback, Seahawk fan, Cubs fan, and
unfortunately, yes.
DeFran, let's give yourself the introduction. You have the floor.
Well, what I want to say first is I am very upset with what happened to the Cubs, but this is not why I am so red. That is due to the sun. So just all around having a great day, as you know. But yeah, like he said, big Cubs fan, as you can imagine, pretty upset with the actions that transpired today. But we're going to rant about it. So they say, you know, talking off your feelings make you feel better. So hopefully I can just get this off my chest and move past it. That's my hope.
A little bit of ramble never hurt anybody, right?
Mm-mm. No.
Not really. So I guess you could kind of go with this is if you go with this game, today is May 2nd, 2021. Pitching wise, this was not a good game on either side.
It was a softball game.
I mean, Williams left in the third inning. Maul was done 5, but gave up 6 runs.
It was a softball game. It was just a light underhand toss and just let them hit it as far as they could.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you got a couple of guys that almost blew it. Like Garrett for the Reds, he almost blew that game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Except my thought is, I mean, there's so much to cover here. So if I go through the list, have you had any Cubs concerns?
Yeah, a lot of them. Pitching, number one. It seems we're very, very hot and cold with pitching. We're also very hot and cold with our hitting. It seems when our hitting is on, our pitching's off. And when our pitching's on, our hitting's off. So we just haven't seemed to play good baseball this whole year. Obviously, offense played very well today. And the defense and the pitching was awful. So just kind of putting those two things together are very important, in my opinion.
You know, I see that with a couple National League teams, but just mind you, the Braves are a big threat in the National League East, and I feel like any day they could either put up 10 runs or give up 10 runs. It's one of those mm-hmm. weirdest things.
Absolutely.
I can't put a finger on it about how or why. It's just how it's built. Now, the Cubs had at one point, the first 2 weeks into the season, they had the worst run support in all of Major League Baseball. It was like 2.7 runs a game.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think now Jack Peterson ended up being hurt, so I'll excuse that. But there's mm-hmm. a couple things going on. Like with Javi Baez, I found out that I went and did some analysis, and I mm-hmm. watched a little bit of film. The problem was of not just plate discipline, but a lot of times, like if you throw him the low and outside slider, now that's the Achilles heel of any right-handed pitcher. But he was leaning for it, throwing the bat out, and when he's getting on top of the ball, because mm-hmm. what I'm seeing, okay, the guy's batting 190, and he's got a launch angle of 10 degrees. Okay, so he's hitting soft ground balls, and that's why we got this. And sure mm-hmm. enough, he's been better. He's seeing the ball better. He's got his timing together. He's mm-hmm. not trying to do too much. And right now, as far as Javi goes, batting 245, much better. Hit that bomb today. Now,
that was sexy.
It's been a little rough start, but El Mago's been doing pretty well. I mean,
he's definitely improving. The big thing is just still with the plate discipline. I mean, every pitch he wants to just hit it out of the ballpark, and you can't do that. Yeah, you can't let the pitchers just throw whatever pitch and you swing at it. You got to be disciplined. He really, I think, is
to the wall.
Yeah, he really, in my opinion, struggles with the breaking pitches. I think he hits fastballs pretty well, honestly. Just those breaking pitches just seem to be really, really killing him. But I just think, again, plate discipline. Because I think he's been on a bit of a roll lately. He had a good game today, obviously. But I just think he needs to be more plate disciplined. And if he could get that walk percentage up, we could see Javi towards the MVP level of player that he was just a couple years ago.
So, I mean, of course there's a – this is a walk year for a couple of guys. Now, I know we'll probably discuss this quite later on, but I mean, right now, if you go by the best guy on the team, it was Contreras at one point. Mm-hmm. But right now, I think Chris Bryant is playing like he wants to get that major payday.
Absolutely.
I mean, are you concerned about his play at all? Or I mean, do you think he's going to just somehow go through with this and demand $300 million? I mean, denied the $200 million extension a while back.
Yeah, no, that's something to be definitely wary of. But Chris Bryant, I think right now he leads the MLB, or he's tied with the MLB, leads in home runs with 9. I mean, he's playing really good. We're playing him a lot more in the outfield, I've noticed. So maybe they're not going to try to give him that third base money. Maybe that's how they're going to try to finagle it. But he's hitting really well this year. Yeah, he's hitting really well. Scott Boras is not going to let that fly. So that's, you know, bad move by the Cubs. But, you know, he's hitting really well. He's going to get that contract extension from somebody. You know, if it's the Cubs that have to sign him that $300 million, and it's the Cubs, if it's whoever. He's going to get his money after this year playing the way he's playing right now. He's approaching the level of kind of where he was in 2016 when he won NL MVP. So, I mean, good for Chris Bryant. The Cubs kind of screwed him early in his career, so I'm glad that he's getting that money. I just hope that that money is back with the Cubs.
Are you referring to that arbitration or that year control thing? Now, that's actually much more common practice than you think, Love. For instance, it happened to a lot of guys. I believe it happened to Buxton. I believe they're talking about with Kalenic of the Mariners. That was in that big Mets blockbuster trade. I mean, there is something being worked on about that with the players' union as time goes on. It's just that what happens if goes with the opening day roster, gets sent down and stuff like that. I mean, there is risk involved. There's been so many times where it's like, he should be ready. We're going to make him ready. Spring training comes around. He's still very slow, doesn't have his time in yet, and it just takes pressure off of the player, so it's on both sides. Now, do I think Chris Bryant was ready? Yes. But is it just fair for somebody and everybody to just say, you know what, I want to do this? I mean, you could look in Pete Alonso's case, which I understand, but it was a different regime and there was a different meaning to it. They want to win that year and see what was going on versus an agent who became a general manager who basically wanted to show off his new toy.
Right, right. Yeah. But
although you hope you don't have KB playing in center field, because if he's got to play center field, regarding what happens with Ian Happ, if you have Chris Bryant regularly playing center field, like remember when they did that with Hanley Ramirez, they stuck him in left in Fenway, and they thought things would happen. Okay, they overpaid him. Mm-hmm. Well, if Chris Bryant plays center field, he's going to be the richest center fielder in all baseball.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you look at those center fielders, they don't hit home runs. You know, they're supposed to have a good arm. They're supposed to have decent legs. I mean, Chris Bryant has all that.
Do everything. Yeah, unless you're Mike Trout, you just do everything. But
well, I mean, outside of Mike Trout, he's going to get the biggest. I mean, come on, man. There's Trout, there's Betts, and then there's going to be everybody else. And he would be that next guy.
Right.
Mike Trout, you go with legend status, and I think you could put him anywhere.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
He's just that talented. I think there's one point where you're going to have to put him at first base later in his career. But who cares? It's Mike Trout.
Still have the power. Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, he'd be making $300 million to be a center fielder. I don't know that that's plausible for the Cubs, especially when you're already paying Jason Hayward and he got that atrocious contract.
Absolutely atrocious.
I had right field. I mean, the dude's been terrible. Absolutely. Yes. I would say downright terrible, especially
subpar.
Right. When you look at the contract, though, you're like, yeesh.
Look at the year they won the World Series. He was batting under 100. He was in there just for defense. Yet you had a better chance of him bunting the ball. I mean, his defense is great, but if that guy fell out of a boat, he can't hit freaking water that year.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. He just cannot hit. When a corner outfielder, at least in my opinion, is a guy you need to get solid power from the bat. You know, maybe he doesn't have the highest batting average.
I think right field, yes. Left field, I think you just need defense and kind of – I mean, every outfielder needs an arm to a point, but I think it depends on the ballpark.
Yeah, his offensive production is totally subpar. But Jason Hayward was not one of the rants I anticipated getting on. Back to center field really quick. Prayers up for Ian Happ. I hope he's okay. not sure what the injury was. I think it was like a rib. It was a weird.
It looked like he had a. I saw this live actually, so it's kind of weird, right? Because I saw both of them go full speed, and they only had one guy on the bench, and it's Contreras. So they have the backup catcher for the game gets suited up to play catcher.
And then Jake Arrieta
moved their catcher to second base, and they end up move Chris Bryant to center field. So I'm kind of thinking to myself, oh, Jesus, this is a mess. Now, I think Jake Arrieta is probably kicking himself for that bat, but moving on. Going for the collision full speed, I see Hap kind of go into the knee and hamstring area.
Okay, yeah. But I know it was like a lower.
He came up, but it seems like he had a bloody nose, but I didn't see anything that hit him in the face or anything. So yeah. I'm not sure if he hit the ground weird or, but I know he tried to stand up and I know he couldn't do it underneath his own power.
I saw that. I
haven't heard of any update. I could try and check for you, but I mean, I expect an evaluation. I really need to see what's going on with this injury because let's just face it. That's grim. That is absolutely sad. I mean, it felt like one of those do or die playoff games. It really did.
Yeah, especially after the inning after he tied it up 12-12 with that monstrous three-run blast.
Oh, yeah, that was a stratosphere type of game. I mean, the fact that I'm just kind of looking at this, it's like, okay, I think it's done. Oh, yeah, this guy hits a moonshot. Hold my beer.
I mean, there was multiple three-run deficits that they just came back from, which was incredible. And then they just blew it because of the stupid extra innings rule.
So there's a couple things about that. First off, Nick Castellanos had 5 hits that game. So listen, I understand that Kimbrel and Contreras were off on signs. So wild pitch gets away. Mm-hmm. Now the runner goes on to third base. Okay. So from here, I still don't understand how a guy that already got on base 4 times by the power of his bat. Why is he getting that
walk
bat?
Intentionally walk him.
Why can't you intentionally walk him? Give him the 4 fingers.
That blew my mind. I don't understand. I think the thought process was, okay, we have Kimbrel. He's one of the greatest closers in baseball. You know, he's one of the most historic whatever. He said, we have confidence that we're going to get Castellanos out. Don't take that chance. Don't take that chance.
I agree. That was terrible.
He rakes, first of all. He's hit 4 times already this game. The 5th was the walk-off. Why even pitch? He was on your roster last year. You know the guy can hit. Exactly. Why are you giving him the opportunity to? I don't get it. Doesn't make sense.
So essentially, go down this, DeFran. So we got Winker on second base, okay? Now, the next 4 hitters in the lineup is Castellanos, Votto, Moose, Suarez. I mean, that's got to be freaking tough. I mean, regardless, Castellanos should have been intentionally walked. Runners on second and third. I'm sorry, second and first. Votto comes up. Hasn't been exactly great lately. Do I think that there's a chance that Kimbrel could strike him out? Yes, there's a chance. Getting those 2 outs are going to be very difficult.
Yeah,
I think they could have pulled it off. You never know what could have happened. That game, magic just happened. I think we could agree there.
Yeah.
Magic just flat out happened. As far as this game, it felt like it was a playoff game. I mean, the fact that we got so many guys switching positions. I mean, the pinch hitters kind of came out. I mean, if you had Sogard on the bench, that would help. But
I think they said there was 15 pitchers used during this game.
Yes, because if you think about it, look how many the Cubs used. I mean, the star didn't make it out of the 3rd inning. And then you got Maples, Thompson, Mills, Steele, Winkler, and Chafin Kimbrel. And it's actually suckish because guess what? Now, Kimbrel isn't charged with the earned run. He's charged with the loss because of the pass ball. But it just sucks because he hasn't allowed a run all year. And technically, right, was that his runner?
No,
he didn't put him on base.
It's Rob Manfred's runner. It's Rob Manfred's runner. Just charge all of the losses to Rob Manfred and extras. Okay.
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. There was a time last year during the COVID year, same kind of thing happened. DJ LeMahieu's on second base. Okay, so pass ball, he ends up on third. Luke Voit hits a fly ball. The thing's caught in center field. He tags up and it just goes, oh, much joy. Yay. But it's like, I didn't feel like I won though. Maybe because there's no fans in the stands. But it's when just, it went the cheap way like that, it's like, if you hit one over the fence, I'm good by it. You earned it. But the fact that it's like, okay, a pass ball and a sack fly.
You got a guy already in scoring position. This is like, Moneyball would be irrelevant if these games were in extra innings all the time. They'd already have the guy on base. They just need the power to get him home. And when you have, again, a pass ball to get him a free base to third, he's 90 feet away from winning the game. A little blooper in center field wins it. It's just, it's two pitches that decided the game. Yeah. It's just stupid to me. Again, if Castellanos rocks it 450 feet over the fence, he earned it. Good job. You guys won. You kicked our butts. But
the pain, the overall pain. Now there's a lot of pain we could share in sports. I mean, I could share about you my 2004 playoff experience as a Yankee fan. You could go off on
108 years between. I mean, you wouldn't know anything about that. You got more championships than fingers and toes, but you know.
Although here's the funny thing. And I tell this because every time when people want to talk basketball and who's the best or, you know, who's better than this guy, they count rings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll be like, oh, what happens if Allen Iverson wins a ring once? You know right. what I mean? But yeah. If you go by baseball, Yogi Berra has 10, not even considered as the GOAT at his own position.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother conversation.
Like that works, right?
Yeah, well, then it's like, who's better, Mike Trout or Yogi Berra? Mike Trout. Mike Trout's got like one playoff win. So it's like rings are so.
Actually, I don't think he has a playoff win.
Okay, I mean, he's got one playoff appearance. Like,
yeah, he's baseball, got one series appearance, so, and they were swept by the Royals the year before they won the World Series against the Mets. They lost to the Giants.
No, player. Baseball is a weird sport because I think baseball is the least reliant on star players. Because if this was basketball, the Angels would have been a friggin' dynasty these past 10 years. Are you kidding me?
Well, I think it's just different because, it's not like one of those pieces where it's like if you go by – now, hockey, I think it's a little bit different. But if you go by the four major sports – it doesn't matter if you have the best starting pitcher in baseball or a best guy in the lineup every day in baseball. It's like the best pitcher in Major League Baseball right now is Jacob DeGrom.
And the Mets are terrible.
Well, look at what's been going on here. It's like you see these captions. Newsflash here, Cheryl. He has not killed one of his teammates yet. Keyword, yet. Back to you.
It's a disgrace. It's so sad to see all the 1-0 Mets losses. Like, come on.
That one was painful.
Come on. Give the man a run support, please. Oh, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Pete Alonso has fallen off pretty hard. He's not been the dude anymore.
Well, my thought is this is if you go by the Mets lineup, right? And yes, do I think that there is a little bit of hype on the polar bear? Yes. Batting 250 right now, but I think people expected him to be the man. My thought is the protection in the lineup. Now, if anyone's going to go by Francisco Lindor, you could argue about a guy on my team, Aaron Hicks. And I'll just say this, a guy who never gets any credit anymore, but was a switch hitter, was a former Yankee and a former Ranger. The injuries is the reason why he's not in Hall of Fame consideration, or basically why I don't think he's going to get in is because of his injuries. But if you look about his time, his home run total, all that, you would say to yourself, oh, my God, what a guy. Great defense, great offensive production when healthy. Almost had an MVP award. You know what guy I'm talking about?
I don't.
His name is Mark Teixeira.
Ooh.
And there's one time that every guy will tell you is that Mark Teixeira usually didn't get it going until May.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go by this, right, you got to go by X amount of at-bats at the plate. How many times is he going to see a lefty? How many times is he going to see a righty? The defense isn't going to go away. He's playing a position every day. But how many at-bats are you going to get at the other sides?
Right. And that's why,
so
like,
if you have a guy, right, I'm going to pull up those numbers right now. Let's see what we got for Tex. We have 1,862 hits, 409 home runs, career batting average of 268. But if you go by switch hitter, he has one of the most home runs for a switch hitter of all time.
Wow.
He really does. Now, mind you, Mickey Mantle is the first. But if you go by all the guys next to him, you hear his name in Carlos Beltran.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if he doesn't get going until May, and that guy's in Hall of Fame consideration, don't we got to give it a little bit of time? I mean, if Francisco Lindor is going to get booed the hell out of, and Aaron mm-hmm. Hicks is getting it too, I'm sure a couple of switchers.
It's New York. It's just like, you know, the three guarantees in New York are taxes, death, and booing star players. I mean, that's just how it goes.
I love it. Although yeah. It's actually funny because I know Philly before the Eagles won the Super Bowl as the city where they boo more than they cheer. And mm-hmm. to my surprise and to their credit, they've toned it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, New York might need to tone it down just a little bit. You guys are not you. I'm not going to put you in that category, but.
You know, I think we've kind of talked this out at Undrafted where these guys, McCanna especially, they try to give me a badge of honor because of the teams. Like, I mean, dude, I get this. I'm driving home. I got an hour drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, as soon as we get back into town, they say, hey, man, we want to hit the Burger King up. And I'm like, okay. So I'm in the drive-thru for so long, I put the car in park. I get a notification that the Pacers got the biggest road win in NBA history.
Wow.
Yeah. Biggest win NBA history by roasting the Thunder by like 57 points. You're not going to hear the Indiana fans going like, we them boys or, you know, we the best or none of that. They're just going to be like, dude, that was an amazing game. Great to be a fan. And we just move on. They're passionate fans. Mm-hmm. But it's like if you go in New York, right, a couple years ago where they're a game away from winning the World Series and the Astros robbed them the first time. And then you go off of the Knicks this year. What do they have in common? Once you have something called optimism, you grease the hinges, the door opens. And it's actually funny because this year it's felt like this first time in at least 20 years that Knicks fans were ever freaking satisfied.
Well, did you see that? They did it to themselves. Did you see the video of the Mets in spring training practicing their World Series win celebration? Like, come on, make it to the playoffs first. Come on.
Optimism. You got a division where anything could happen. It doesn't. If any one of those two teams face each other, again, you have no idea what will happen. Mm-hmm. Will Jacob DeGrom hit his own run support again? Are the Braves going to get up 10 runs and score up two on the board?
Yeah.
Is Ronald Acuna Jr. going to get two opportunities where he's got the bases loaded? It happened, I think, twice today, and they end up losing to the Blue Jays. Oh, well.
Wow.
You see what I mean? It's the crazy. Jacob DeGrom.
I honestly feel if I was him, you know, I'd go to a real team with some real hitters, maybe a team that could even score 12 runs a game. I would sign with the Cubs if I was Jacob DeGrom. I mean, unbiasedly, personally speaking, we would give him 12 runs of support. I mean, come on, man. No way he gives that up.
Actually, you know, it'd be the worst. You know, it'd be a Met fan's worst nightmare.
If you went to the Yankees?
No, actually worse. I think the Braves would hurt more.
Really?
Because if you think about it, there's talk about now, mind you, I'm seeing all this stuff in like the New York Post, the New York Daily News. They got Thor and DeGrom jersey swapped in Yankee uniforms saying, hey, Hal, your move. And you know the Wilpons out of pettiness are going to be like, I'll be damned. I will walk over lava before I trade these two starting pitchers to the New York Yankees. Now, do I think that Syndergaard is better off being a closer? Absolutely, I do. That's a controversial topic for another time.
Yeah.
I will get chewed out for that one, but who cares? But also, I made a brutal one, and I just said this. Now, I just want to hear a reaction when I say this statement, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jacob DeGrom will never be in the Hall of Fame. If these boomers don't change their standards of win total. Hi, I almost got you, didn't I?
That was okay.
That's I almost got you. Say.
Should be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. I thought that I that's what I heard at first. But I agree with what you're saying. You remember, I think it was 2010 when King Felix was absolutely unstoppable, but he had a bad win-loss record because the Mariners were garbage. Remember that year?
There's a couple years where he was in Cy Young contention. Mm-hmm. I mean, the arm's not there anymore, but
Right. But I'm saying like prime King Felix.
King Felix between 2009 to 2015.
Mm-hmm.
He was it seems like he was a top 10 starting pitcher. And yes, the Mariners wasted that talent.
Absolutely. That's the problem with Jacob DeGrom is when it's all said and done, if the Mets stay the Mets and they suck, they're going to look at, doesn't have the great win-loss record, and that's going to affect other aspects of his life, other aspects of his career, because Cy Young doesn't always go to the best pitcher. Sometimes it goes to the pitcher with the best win-loss record. So, again.
In that one time, who am I thinking? That one year it went to Rick Porcello instead of going to Verlander?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, Kate Upton was brutally upset about that. And I'm not sure how much she knows about baseball, but I'm pretty sure she knows enough. But mm-hmm. the fact that she was pissed about that and she knew how it works, oh my goodness. And I was rooting for Verlander that year.
Yeah, I was rooting. I'm a big Verlander fan. Big fan.
I mean, come on. You had the best offense in baseball supporting you versus Verlander. And he was, I think he was a Tiger at the time too.
Yeah.
So, really?
Yeah, it's okay. But then he went to the Astros, and they were a different kind of trash. So, But, you know.
Bang, bang.
I do think that he will be in the Hall of Fame because it's kind of becoming a known thing that Jacob DeGrom is the Mets, and he has zero support. So, I do feel like there will be sympathy there. And, obviously, they'll look at his ERA, his strikeouts, his all that, and they'll see, okay, this guy's a Hall of Famer. I do think he will make it, but I understand where you're coming from in the sense of if he does not make it, it's because of his poor win-loss record that has very little to do with him. So
it's a different game in the fact where it's like the quality start now is you go six innings and you turn the ball over. Except mm-hmm. how many times, it doesn't matter if you're Max Scherzer, Jacob DeGrom, it doesn't matter if you're Gerrit Cole, how many times does the manager take the ball? And, you know, there's some of these bullpens that are set up with their seventh, eighth, and ninth inning guys. But what happens if you put in that fourth or fifth inning guy because the other guys need rest?
Right.
If it's a two-run game and he blows that or ties the game, then guess mm-hmm. what? He can't get the win. Mm-mm. And a mediocre relief pitcher blew it. That's been a Mets story. That's been a Braves starting pitcher story. That's been a Ken Felix story.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
It happens too much in baseball. So when I remember when Mike Mussina was getting into the Hall of Fame, many people being like, man, he didn't get the 300. And I'm like, it's never going to happen again. The only one I think is going to get close. Let's see what the total is right now. And the reason why I doubt it is because of his injury history. That guy would be, I don't even think he's going to get to it. I think he's going to be the last starting pitcher to get to 200. How about that?
Wow.
And that guy, let's see, he's 33 years old this year. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he'll make it, but he's got to be healthy because of his back issue. That guy is Clayton Kershaw. He has 179 wins right now. But it's that back issue that's constantly putting him on the injured list. It's that double clutch windup.
It's the same issue that they're having with the NBA with the whole load management thing. Agree with it or not, that's the trend. You know what I mean? Players aren't playing, 162 games anymore. They're taking a couple days off. Pitchers aren't pitching into late eight inning, nine inning, whatever.
Well, But at the same time, if you take 5 minutes off the floor a night, let's say, right? It's not like a starting pitcher where it's just like, I'm giving him 10 less pitches because at most he's going to have 32 games this year.
Right.
So instead of taking off 10 pitches a game or whatever the case may be, right? You can't guarantee if you like, okay, for this guy right here, I'm going to shave 5 minutes off the floor every night. We have no idea what that's going to be like. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me his point total because it's going to be like, you have no idea if there's going to be one night where he's not getting good looks, one night getting double coverage, or, hey, you know what? We're slowing things down because right now we're getting brutally beat by 20 points halfway through the third quarter. Different game. Load management is much different because that's about rest. It's different between everybody's arm is completely demolishing because what happens is, right? Now, I grew up in the late 90s and early 2000s, and let me tell you something. This is one of the last eras where a kid has a five-gallon bucket of baseballs, and he's practicing his fastball and where to locate against throwing it at a fence. Mm-hmm. So you have spring ball and into summer ball. Then you have fall ball. And, you know, there's some of those kids that are going to clinics if they got the money. Or if not, you know, they'll take it off. They'll do basketball or whatever. But you got 2 years of base. You got two seasons of baseball in there. And then from that age of like when you're starting to pitch in B league, when you're in like third grade, you're probably like 8, 9 years old, 10 years old. They didn't worry about pitch counts. It was just innings that they did it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen so many kids in a game where my B league team, it's like, it was okay. After you're done with the lineup or there's a run rule, we switch sides.
Right.
That kid could have walked every single batter until there was like seven runs. You know how many pitches that could be? That could be like 102 innings.
One of my friends
nobody gave a damn. Now everyone's on pitch count as a kid.
One of my friends had we counted. He had a 60-pitch inning one time. It was one of the funniest things. He had a 60-pitch inning. Yeah.
How do you go 60? I've seen 40, but I don't know.
He basically loaded the count full on every single batter, and I think the whole lineup went through in about a half. They scored about 6 runs that inning. It was brutal. I don't even remember. They probably scored 6 or 7 runs. It was brutal. It was like 10 pitches a batter almost.
My heart would be turning to cheese by the third inning.
Dude. Yeah. Oh, he pitched one inning. He was out. He's like, he iced up the rest of the game. I was like,
well, I can imagine just being the coach, just being like,
yeah. Well, we didn't have any other pitchers, and so I was pulled in.
This sounds like something like early 1900s.
I was pulled in to be an emergency reliefer, and I never pitched before. I hit a kid in the head I hit a kid in the head my first pitch. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. they're like, all right, just my catcher's like giving me the signs. I'm like, dude, I have no idea what you're doing. I played center field and first base and third. I don't know what you're doing.
And what league was this?
This was when I was like probably 11 or 12, man. It was brutal.
I know I would want to see nowadays if you're like the emergency pitcher.
Yeah.
Although I did, there was a case scenario when I was a kid where there's in the first 3 batters, there's 2 hit batsmen, and that's the limit. So they got to get pulled.
Yeah.
And so the person had no idea. They had warm up quickly and such. My thought is be like those, be like those infielders that go in a pitch and they just lob it.
Anthony Rizzo, baby.
That guy from the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call him? The Turtle?
Oh, yeah.
the one that they say is Bartolo Colon's son.
Mm-hmm.
the guy's lobbing like 46 mile an hour pitches.
So slow. The batter's like. Yeah, no, I was like, I went in my thought process.
I would just have the bat on my shoulder, one hand, just being like, God help me.
Yeah. No, I went in, I was like, my thought process, I was like, I'm going to throw gas. I'm going to show the coaches I can pitch. Hit the kid the first pitch. Hit the kid in the head of first pitch. Felt bad. Probably thought I beamed him on purpose. And then I throw a 4-pitch walk the next batter. And then a ground ball is hit. And I'm like, triple play, like, let's get him. My ERA is going to be 0 right through the third baseman's glove. So, you know, that was my – it was, hey, I think I
threw – Error.
Yeah. We went to mercy rule. So, I allowed Well, we were down by 10, so it was whatever. And then later in that year in the playoffs, similar situation happened. One of our kids missed the game, had a whatever. I don't know. He wasn't there. And they're like, we need an emergency pitcher. I shoot my hand up. And coach was like, no. So that was great.
Great. Always great stories, man. Yes. Always yeah. Great.
So, yeah, that's kind of, I guess, the rant for tonight. Go so, Cubs.
I actually got a let's see if I go back to this one I know it's gonna I know it's a little bit painful, but I'm not sure. I'll check on what's going on with Jack Peterson. Ian Happ, I'm not sure if he'll hit the concussion deal or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean that was really one of the best games he played this year.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean he had that big home run. Had that double and our base hit here.
Yeah,
it was really good, man.
He's got to get that batting average up a little bit, and I hope
that I mean, my thought is this. I mean, the way that he was hitting before this game, I mean, I just don't think he could have him at leadoff. I just don't think he can. I mean, I think Horner would be better, to be honest with you.
I'm liking Horner a little bit. Just to switch things up,
because you can't have a guy batting, well, after three hits, 167. I mean, it's a month through the season. You can't be batting leadoff like that. Mm-mm. If you want to give it to Javi, I get it.
Yeah,
Javi. You know what I mean? If you want to give it to Duffy, I get it. But I'd say give it to Nico right now.
Yeah, I'd give it to Nico.
Hopefully he's okay. I mean, it looked like he was just a little stiff, a little sore.
Right.
But we shall monitor this tomorrow, and we go from there.
Now,
you got any more concerns? Like, do you have any – I've wanted to talk to you about Cubs for a while. Like, did you have a floor and a ceiling about the season?
Oh, the floor is, you know, last in the Central Division.
How many games do you think? About 72? The floor?
Yeah, 70. 70 is probably the floor. The ceiling?
I think 72. I think the ceiling, the way we're based on this, is
95.
95.
That's the ceiling.
95. My ceiling, because of the competitiveness of the division, and the way that these teams are playing, particularly the Pittsburgh Pirates, that don't look like the worst team in baseball right now, mm-hmm. with their stars sold off, I'm actually surprised that they're competing. I'm going with the floor of the Cubs. I'm going 86, just because it again, right? If are you going to sell these pieces off come July? Are you going to obtain a starting pitcher? Or are you going to sell one off? I don't think you could sell any off outside maybe a guy like John Lester for a rental.
John Lester is
– That guy eats innings, bottom line.
Yeah, so
I'm sorry. He jumped shift. who's the starting pitcher I'm thinking of? Jesus.
Hendricks?
Not Hendricks.
Arrieta,
I'm sorry. I get those two mixed up because they're part of the range, but – Something. Yes, Arrieta, I think they could sell off. But I think that's really about it.
We should sell him as a pinch hitter. Just market him as a pinch hitter.
Hey, if you think about it, though, he did get hosed on one call. But
yes.
If he doesn't swing at that ball in the dirt, it's a full count, and then who knows what happens. Top of the order.
Madness ensues. We get the next guy, 3-run blast. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
You think a 3-run blast if he doesn't
Hey man, you never know. It was softball pitching out there, so
it was a bad day for pitching. I mean, 25 combined runs. I mean, I never bet the over on baseball games, but if somebody did, well, they knew something we didn't. Because I mean, there's certain things like if you're a betting guy, if you said, "Hey, the starting pitcher is not going to last the third inning." You wouldn't take that bet.
Mm-mm.
Who would?
Maybe if you're a Cub, maybe if you're betting on the Cubs, maybe that's the bet you take. And they bet over under 8 relievers. I'll take the over on that one, please. Just despicable baseball. Just absolutely.
I have no idea what was in the bats today, but something happened.
Hopefully we keep the bats going. I'm gonna end on this. I'm gonna end on this. Some positive. I've been ripping on him a little bit. The bat at most of the Cubs games this year, in my opinion, anyway, their pitching or their batting has looked really good. we need the and. We need pitching and batting looks really good. Because in 2016, when we had some of the best batters in the league, Jake Arrieta was Cy Young. We had Aroldis Chapman throwing gas, absolute gas. I'm sure you know a little bit about Chapman since he jumped ship and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But
well, hey, as far as I'm concerned, right, yes, he jumped ship, and a lot of Cubs, and I ask about it, right? Imagine Javi Baez and Gleyber Torres in the same infield. Imagine Javi at short and Gleyber at second. Yeah, that would be a paradise. So when I say, do you regret trading Aroldis, that, you know, Gleyber Torres for Chapman, some people are like, oh, hell no, World Series, man.
Yeah.
But I think it was just one part of the whole component there. I mean, those were two great teams.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going to really end on. I want to go out positive. I think that we have hope. I think that there is some really, really good talent on this team. We got to pick it up. We got to pick up the pitching. We got to get our hitting consistent. Keep balling. I hope that our payroll can just increase by like $100 million so we could sign KB. That would be awesome. But you know,
so you want KB and Javi to stay, and you want,
oh man, that's a, we could do a whole nother video about the big three right there and just who I want, who I don't. We could do a whole nother video, but I think I'm going to sign off after that. And thank you for having me. Letting me vent about the Cubs a little bit, and you know, go Cubs.
We'll both sleep a little bit better tonight, knowing that we got a little about this out.
Yep.
Although, like I said before, I did go over a couple of things. I recently went over if Moneyball is actually accurate. I actually did look up the payroll, scouting that they didn't talk about, the Cy Young Award winner that was on the team. I did look into the Cubs offense, and there will be some other stuff I will be reviewing, and I hope to have you along with it, DeFran.
For sure.
So,
for sure.
Everybody, DeFran, please tell us where we can find you and tell us about the shows you do.
I'm on Twitter at MikeDeFran7. I do the Always Compete Seahawks podcast with my man Sam. We just posted an episode yesterday, so be sure to check it out. And yeah, that's where you guys can find me. And AJ, thanks for having me again, bro.
Absolutely. And of course, DeFran, Twitter brother, for anything going on as far as football, baseball, any journalism, you know, I'm here for you, man.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
I love this guy, and hopefully that we could do more shows. I love doing this, and we both just live for this.
Yeah.
Everybody, this is Mike DeFran, AJ Torres of Calling Strikes, courtesy of Undrafted Sports. Hope you all take care and have a good one. Lotus.